I must begin this afternoon with an expression of sincere apology. I've already expressed it to the chairman. I was given the time to finish this morning, and I thought I'd finished in time. You see, I went by a wrong clock. I went by the clock up here. And actually, the clock is fast. It's about 3/4 of an hour fast. But I took it to be right, but according to the hour before, I thought it would now be 3:25, and I finished at what I thought was 11 o'clock in the clock, and it was 12 o'clock. So I went quite a wee bit over time. When I discovered it, just sitting here this afternoon and compared it with my watch, I said to my wife, I must have taken a lot longer than I was due this morning. She said, I thought you were pretty long. And but she said, I thought you knew what you were doing. This afternoon, I'm going to go by my watch and not by the clock, so we'll not keep you unduly late. We've faced this today two very important statements of the Lord Jesus, spoken at the beginning of his ministry. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. In these few moments, I'd like to turn your attention to another very significant statement spoken at the end of his ministry. He said, ye are the branches. Let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15. John's Gospel, chapter 15. I am the true vine, said the Lord Jesus, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The Lord will bless to us his own word. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for the consciousness of thy presence with us today, as we have heard thy voice through thy word speaking to us. We do thank thee, and we pray that thou wilt help us in our lives to bear an influence amongst those with whom we live and move, and in our churches to be a real blessing to our community. We pray that thou wilt bless us as we come to these closing moments. We would say, speak to our souls. Help us to hear thy voice and to respond obediently. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. It's said that every picture tells a story. And it also said that a picture is worth 1,000 words. Sometimes a picture is worth more than 1,000 words. Some of us who have studied different subjects at school and college will remember what a value a textbook with pictures is. I don't know if I could have studied anatomy without a textbook of pictures of all the nerves and muscles in the body. I don't know if I could have studied a course on automobile mechanics, which I did at one time, without a book that showed what the parts of an automobile were. Pictures make a tremendous difference. The Bible is full of pictures. In the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament. In the Old Testament, many of these pictures are called types. And how they illuminate are the great truths and doctrines of the New Testament. In the New Testament, we have many kind of pictures. Already today, I refer to the pictures of the church that are found in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus was the master picture painter. He told pictures with a great art. In fact, all his ministry was illustrated by lovely, beautiful pictures. Many of these pictures were called parables. But much of his ministry is pictorial, although it wasn't all parabolic. We have been looking at two pictures drawn from one of his earliest teachings. We have looked at the picture of the salt and the light. And we have noted how beautiful and how illustrative and how full these pictures are. We now come to the end of his ministry, and we come to one of his very last pictures. It wasn't in the upper room he told this picture. At the end of the previous verse, we are told that he said, "Arise, let us go hence." And it would seem that they had left the upper room. They had possibly walked through the streets of Jerusalem, and down the slopes to the Kidron. And on their way, they had possibly seen the great vine on the golden gate of the temple. And they passed, perhaps, the vineyards and the slopes down to the Kidron. Vines and fruit were very much in the minds of the disciples, coming from the upper room where he had taken that cup, and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. I will not any more drink of the fruit of this vine." Certainly was in their mind, wasn't it? The vine. And in accordance with that, as so often in his pictorial teaching, the Lord said, "I am the true vine." John records 7 great statements made by our Lord Jesus, all beginning with the words, "I am." "I am the bread of life." "I am the light of the world." "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." "I am the good shepherd." "I am the way, the truth, and the life." "I am the resurrection and the life." And now, as his ministry on earth draws to a close, he gives us one closing statement. "I am the true vine." In contrast to Israel, that God had taken as a vine from Egypt and planted in Canaan, which became an empty vine, and which became a vine that bore wild grapes, fruit unto himself, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the true vine." And in agreement with that, and immediately following that, he said to these disciples, "Ye are the branches." And the same Lord of all speaks to us today. And he says to us the same as he said to these disciples. Not only ye are the salt of the earth, not only ye are the light of the world, but ye are the branches. What does this mean? Well, we could think of this for a long time, but there are only one or two things that I want to point out from it. There's a great deal, a great wealth of teaching in this lovely chapter. First of all, a branch is united to the vine. And in the same way, you and I are united to the true vine. We are united inseparably from him. We are united eternally to him. We are united to him. And what a wonderful thought that is. We are united in such a way that we cannot be separated. The truth of eternal security is one that stands firmly, indelibly, and so frequently in the pages of the Word of God. I know verse 6 is a difficult verse here, and if we had time, we would go into it and explain it a little more detail. But it cannot possibly conflict with other great verses recorded in this gospel as coming from the lips of the Lord himself. For example, John 5 and 24, where he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Or in John chapter 10, when he says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." And these are only 2 out of many instances in this gospel alone that record the eternal security of the Christian. And we can find them in the other passages, for example, the closing verses of Romans 8. So whatever other verses, and they seem to me or to you to point the other direction, we are overwhelmed by the number of references in the Bible to the eternal security of the saints. Some people call it the perseverance of the saints. I rather don't like that theological term. I prefer to call it the preservation by the Savior, for that's what eternal security is. It doesn't depend on my persevering, it depends on His preserving. And it's because of His preservation that I believe I'm eternally secure. Now when we're united in the vine, we are recipients of tremendous blessing. The Apostle Paul uses the same kind of terminology over and over again. Abide in me, said the Lord Jesus. And the Apostle Paul tells us frequently, we are in Christ, we are in Him. Once in Christ, in Him forever, that's the eternal covenant there. And he tells us some of the great blessings that come to us. In fact, he says, we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ, because we're united to Him. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. And again, in the same passage, he says, we are accepted in the Beloved. We have acceptance. In the same passage, he says, we have redemption, in whom we have redemption through His blood. In the same passage, he said, in Him we have inheritance. And in the same passage, he says, in whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Spirit of God. Priceless, eternal blessings that belong to the child of God, because he's a branch in the vine, because he's a member in the body. And we can go to other passages and notice that we are complete in Him, that we are in Him, and in Him complete. And so the first lesson that we can learn from this is a lesson that tells us of our privileges. But as we saw this morning, every privilege carries with it a responsibility. And as branches in the vine, every one of us has responsibilities. What is the responsibility of the vine, of the branch in the vine? Well, the responsibility of a branch is not to be used for furniture. The Old Testament tells us you can't use a branch for that sort of thing. You can't even make a pin to hang things on with a branch. There is one thing and one thing only that a branch in the vine is to do. And that one thing is to bring forth fruit. Fruit. And that is the point that is emphasized in this particular passage. Our responsibility is to bear fruit in this world. Fruit that will bring glory to God. Fruit, said the Lord Jesus. Much fruit. More fruit. Fruit that remains. And this fruit is fruit that glorifies His Father. Herein is my Father glorified, in that ye bear much fruit. The question is, are we bearing fruit? And you may ask, well, what kind of fruit is here? The New Testament speaks of a variety of different kinds of fruit that should be manifested in our lives. Fruits meet unto repentance, for instance. We are to be fruitful in every good way. The fruit of souls won for the Lord Jesus is an important fruit that we should look for in our lives. And even the giving that we give to the Lord's people and the Lord's servant, the Apostle says, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. All these are part of the fruit that should be characteristic of our lives. But what is the fruit of the vine? Let's read two or three verses in the context of this passage, and let's try to bring out the fruit that the Lord wants to see in your life and mine. Let's look at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. My love. Look at verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Look at the previous chapter in verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Did you notice them? My love, my joy, my peace. And of course, I'm sure in many of our minds as the wheels turn, are we reminded of that great verse in Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I believe that's the fruit that the Lord was primarily referring to. Because you see, that is the primary fruit of the true vine. Well, how do you know that? Well, what is the fruit that a branch in a vine brings forth? What is the fruit that any branch of a vine on earth brings? Obviously, the fruit that it brings forth is the reproduction in the branch of the character of the vine. That's what a grape is, isn't it? It's reproduction in that branch of the character of the vine. The Lord said, by their fruit you shall know them. And you recognize a vine, because of the grapes that are produced in the branches of that vine. What is the fruit that the Lord Jesus is referring to here? He's referring to the reproduction of the character of the vine in the branches. Since the vine is the Lord Jesus, the fruit that he wants to see in our lives basically and primarily is the reproduction of his character in our lives. What is his character? His character is love. His character is joy. His character is peace. And so throughout all these 9 fruits of the Spirit that Paul enumerates for us in Galatians 5, and as they are produced in our lives, the character of the Lord Jesus is seen in us, in a world that knows him not. Is that the kind of life that you're living? Is that the kind of fruit that you're bearing? My friends, once that kind of fruit is produced in our lives, the fruit of good works, and the fruit of service, and the fruit of souls, will all follow in their place. But first of all, there's to be the fruit of the character of the Lord Jesus. How is that fruit produced in our life? Well, Galatians 5 and 22-23 tells us the first great secret. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not something that I can work up. The works of the flesh are different. They're something that I work up because of the lusts within me, and they develop into the works of the flesh. There's a vital difference between works and fruit. The fruit is produced in me by the Spirit of God. And what is the secret of the production of that fruit? Well, the secret is told to us 11 times in 11 verses in John 15. The first 11 verses all contain one word. It's frequently translated in our King James Version, abide. It's also translated continue and remain, but it's the same word. And these tell me that the important secret of fruit bearing in the Christian life is to abide in the vine. To abide in the vine. What does it mean to abide in the vine? Well, let's ask, what does it mean for a branch to abide in the vine? It means that that branch is in moment by moment contact with the vine. That branch is obtaining all its resources, all its strength, all that's needed to produce its fruit. It's obtaining it from the vine itself. And isn't that the way whereby we abide in the Lord Jesus? As we remain in moment by moment communion with him, in fellowship with him. A branch that abides is first of all in vital union with him. But a branch that abides is also in moment by moment communion with him. Reading his word. Speaking to him in prayer. Day by day. And moment after. Receiving his power and his provision. That's why the Lord Jesus said in verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my word abide in you. That's receiving his word. Ye shall ask what ye will. That's prayer. and it shall be done unto you. What does the branch ask? The branch asks of the vine for the provision that is necessary to produce the fruit. And that's the true prayer of every believer, that the vine may give to us that necessary provision so that we can produce fruit that will glorify the Father. Are we abiding in Him day by day? There is one other thing that is evidently necessary, and we find it in the first two or three verses. You see, the vine dresser has some input into that. The gardener, the husbandman, he's of importance. The Lord Jesus said, "My Father is the husbandman." How does He do? Well, if the vine is, if the branch is bearing fruit, He purges it. He cleanses it. He prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And the pruning is necessary day by day in our life. We are told that ye are clean through the Word. We can only be cleansed by the Word of God. This is the Word that cleanses us day by day. And to bring forth more fruit, we have to spend more time in the Word of God. Sometimes the husbandman has to take a pruning fork, and by means of suffering and sacrifice, he is to prune us so that we may bring forth more fruit. What if we're not bringing forth fruit at all? Well, the first part of verse 15, verse 2 tells us something about that. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. I take it that this is a branch in Him, that this is a believer. I believe in verse 6, the person referred to is not a believer. He's a professing Christian. But I believe in verse 2, this is a believer. This is a believer who is not abiding in Him. What does he do? Well, the writer, the interpreter, the King James Version says he taketh it away. That may mean two things. First of all, he may take that branch from earth to heaven, as he did some of the branches in Corinth, because they were dishonoring his name on earth. But I think there's probably another meaning here. I understand that the word translated taketh away is a word that very frequently and primarily means raise it up, lift it up. So it's translated over 40 times in the New Testament. Lift it up. You see, a branch of a vine, if it's groveling on the earth, it's not going to get the sunshine, and it's not going to produce the fruit. And so the vine dresser has to come along, and he has to raise it up so that it will produce fruit. Many of God's people are groveling on the earth. They are occupied with the things of the world. And because they're occupied with the things of the world, there's no fruit in their lives. And the vine dresser has to come along and he's to raise it up so that they will produce fruit for his glory. Will you allow him to do that in your life? And will you, by the gracious Spirit of God, abide in him day by day? So that the fruit of the Spirit, the character of the Savior, may be produced in your life and mine for the glory of the Father.